shine, little Uber, deliver, deliver, leave. Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I'm here with my favorite worms, Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening out there.
Good to have you. And good to have you back, Lulu.
Hi, everybody. Yes. Yeah. It's good to be back.
Not trampled by sheep.
No,
and,
I didn't look like
you're in full form.
Yep. I didn't get trampled
good.
By sheep or dogs. It was great.
Yeah. And thanks for calling in last week with our special guest, Ron Godin.
Oh, I know, right? I was thinking about
that. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was, it was so different to be on the phone.
On the other end.
You guys. Yeah. And now I know why people get scared.
Well, don't be scared tonight.
No, don't be scared. Just call right on up.
Call right on up. 527-486-8166. KVNF now. I'm going to start with the treats in the house because there's some good stuff here.
Yeah, including... I almost brought you some peaches, but I thought it was kind of redundant.
Can you eat another peach? I don't know. But look at these apricots. Still picking apricots,
yeah,
Lance.
Yeah, Chinese apricot. And... for some reason, those few lower branches in that one tree was just hanging in there. So I said, I'm going to leave these here until I till they get ripe. And there they are.
There they are.
There they are.
September
yep.
20th, I picked them this morning.
There, nice.
There were
oh my
still
gosh.
Some on the trees at the ranch, too.
That's incredible. The ranch over
in Carbondale. Yeah,
in the
where
Roaring
the dog
Fork.
trials were. I'd drive the gator under them, and sometimes I didn't get it far enough away. And they would come right off and fall in the gator. It was great. I was like, yeah, this works.
All yeah.
Right.
Yeah, what a great season for the apricots. And more grapes,
yeah.
Lance, from
yeah.
your garden.
More grapes. Those are grapes. Both of them have seeds in them. One's a Delaware. And the other one is a Swenson's. And I think the Delaware is technically used for jelly and stuff. The Swenson, I think, is more for juice. And they're both good flavor.
Yeah, both good flavor.
And if you want to eat seeds or spit seeds, whatever.
I'm eating the seeds.
Yeah, yeah, the seeds don't have any aftertaste in them. They got a great little crunch.
Yeah, these are good.
And how many varieties of grapes do you have? Because this is a new variety,
yeah.
not what you've brought in the,
I have
previous
eight.
Weeks.
Eight different varieties, and they're all at different times. Except for the Candace and Reliance this year, ripened all in the same time.
Right.
Now,
gave you a fit.
I'd like to say something about the ripening, too, that I figured out
do
this
it.
Year.
Uh-huh.
You know how you always are in such a rush to get, oh, they're ready, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
Man, you just don't have to rush.
No, I actually have something about picking early. You don't have to.
No.
Just wait.
Just wait because your flavors are going to be better.
Yeah.
And are we talking about that stem color thing? Or
not in grapes.
Not in grapes.
You know how I taste them, but...
I do too.
The two things I look at is if the birds are eating them and the wasp. And that's when I go after them.
Right.
You know, and I didn't have birds to speak of, but I did start to see the wasp. And so, and you can't keep the wasp out.
No, and why would you anyway?
Yeah.
Just be careful.
Yeah.
You know, they're fine. But I really have noticed that. And my peach tree, the famous little peach tree, the fruit ripened it's not as sweet as it was last year by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I can't quite figure it out. I think it was because it was so cool in August, and that tree is in the shade anyway.
Mm, there you go.
And it just didn't ripen. Like the fruits are falling off, so I picked a lot. There's still some on there, but they didn't. They don't have that great flavor.
Yeah, I just started picking or tasting the prune plums, the
Ooh.
Italian.
Oh,
it's like okay, it's pickable. You can do it now. And then I have some French prune plums, which are good too, and they're really sweet.
Yeah, mine are gonna have to wait till I come back next week.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
they're
okay.
They're gonna be just fine on there. There's a gazillion million.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm gonna have plenty.
Hey, phone numbers 527-486-8166. KVNF now. Lance and Lulu are here to answer your questions.
Boggle your mind.
Boggle your mind and or
Yeah, but don't be scared, because I realized how scary it is to call on the phone. It's scary. But you know what? Call us and tell us what's going on in your garden.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how it's so different everywhere.
Everybody has a different garden. And different in the different zones and different parts of the listening area. And I want to give a shout out to Janice down in Montrose, who must have been up in the area because brought some fabulous samples here. Baker Creek tomatoes,
heirloom tomatoes. Mm-hmm. The Baker Creek catalog. I had that in here at one point earlier this year. It's amazing. It's astonishing. And these guys are gorgeous. This is a sauce tomato, and it's beautiful.
It almost looks like a pepper, like a jalapeno or something like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's cute. It's very cute.
Yeah, and she says these are Jersey Devils, which is the ancestor of a Jersey Giant. Very meaty and prolific with few seeds.
Yep, that's why they sauce.
Oh, Janice.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This is going to go right to my dinner tonight.
Nice. Thank you, Janice.
I'm going to enjoy them too.
Thank you, Janice. This is going to be fabulous.
Yeah, great. We appreciate you listening and the tasty treats. I want to give another shout out to Ron last week because he's been on the show a few times talking about soil health, and that seems to be what it's really all about.
Yeah, what's the name of that book again about the straw? What is it?
One Straw Revolution.
One Straw Revolution.
That's it.
Yeah.
I need that book.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a caller mention that last week. Bob, I think, called in with that. And great. And Lance brought some rye seed in for winter cover crop, which I'm going to go for a cover crop this year. Mm-hmm. Talk me into it.
Okay.
Well, I think that's great. You know, it's beautiful when it grows. I mean, it's one of those really
It gets a little reddish,
green
this time of year.
Nice. Yeah.
And it's just there, you know. It's one of those things. It's one of those things that makes me wonder why people have regular lawns.
Yeah.
Why they don't replace it with a garden.
Yeah, a garden, you know. And, I mean, how cool would it be to have rye all grown in your yard, and you just mow your path through it.
There you go.
Right?
I like your style.
It would be so cool. I mean, you know, just try it. I mean, and then there's so many other ground covers you could use besides grass, and you wouldn't have to mow.
And the stuff you leave, you get food.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
There you go. Hey, what about mowing? Where are we in
those of us
that mow? Yeah, the countdown mowing.
Yeah.
Three more times?
Oh my gosh.
Maybe two for sure, and we'll see what happens after that.
Oh my gosh, that's so soon.
I was trying to get away with it like now. Like, no mas, you know, but I realize I have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine's growing pretty crazy back there.
It likes the cool and moist air weather,
it's
and
beautiful.
It's growing more now than, of course, in the middle of summertime. It grows like this in the springtime, too.
I wonder if those peaches didn't get sweet because there was too much water on that tree.
Oh, yeah.
You reckon?
I talked to one orchard guy, and he mentioned that when we were having those rains, the peaches lost all their flavor.
Oh, wow.
See, there it
there
is.
There you go.
Yeah. Da-da.
They really, to ripen them up, you need to dry them out.
Yeah.
And then the sugar content goes up.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
And the other thing is I have that ground cover around mine, that money wart. Really nice little ground cover, very manageable, keeps the weeds out. Hello, and you don't ever have to mow it, and it has little yellow flowers.
Nice.
But when it was so hot for a while there, I had to water it, and then I bet that it never dried out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sunk
problem. Solve a lot of problems here. 527-486-1866 KVNF now. And Lance, another listener gifted you this great book, this great resource, The Organic Method Primer. How'd you come about that?
This man's an avid listener, and he came to a talk I did at the Cedar Ridge Mormon Church last year we met, and then we exchanged phone calls, and then he came up to the garden tour, about 10 days ago on September 10th, and he handed me this book. This is for As the Worm Turns. It's a great reference book, lots of food crops and their descriptions, their seed viability.
You got to check out the pictures. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Just,
look at the information.
This thing has pictures. Oh, it has, like,
this is
pesticide residues
this
on
is
somebody's
the
hands.
And it shows infrared all the pesticide residues on ooh. The hand after spraying or handling it.
Right.
You know,
and then
cells.
It has, yeah. Yeah, and what do you call those microscopes? Wait, it says it in here, the ones that are so powerful. Electron microscopes or whatever they are. I'm telling you, you can't believe this, the pictures. I can't wait.
Cross-section of a radish, I mean, under a microscope.
Yeah, the hair on a root of a radish or something that's just spectacular.
Yeah. Hey, we have Barry from Ridgeway on the line with a question about wasps. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Barry.
Hi.
Hello, Lance and Lulu.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm curious about something. When you talk about wasps, I live up on Log Hill Mesa, and so I'm in a different eco zone or whatever. But we have what I call yellow jackets up here. Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. There's so many different types.
Right.
That's the thing. The main wasp, so many different types.
The main wasp that I'm talking about that's so beneficial actually makes these like honeycomb type round nests, and they put them in sheds and stuff. They're flat. That's the one.
That's the main one.
And then I have another wasp that I call sugar wasp because it's always in the rotten fruit, and it will get in the sugar. It's the one that eats the grapes or the fruit, or and it's also for some reason it's the only one that's actually in my fennel that's blooming. There's no bees. There's only that type of honey wasp.
I was just curious. I grew up in Ohio, and out there we had a very aggressive wasp that we called a yellow jacket, and it looked a lot like what I see around here. But the ones around here, I've been stung twice in 40 years.
They're just
not aggressive.
No,
I have a nest on the inside of my shed door, and I go in and out of that, and they haven't ever even touched my face, even buzzed my face.
They don't feel threatened.
The Rocky Mountain wasp. This is what I think it is a pretty mild tempered. There was a short period where a European wasp, the exact same wasp, only as European, you didn't want to get near that guy. It would sting you.
Well, and
it's disappeared.
When they see you, they go after you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a variety like that in my hay bales by the side of the driveway last year. And they also had a nest underground, a tiny bit underground. Ooh. Not huge underground, but underground. Those guys, if you brushed the currant bushes as you were walking by, they'd come out and sting you. They were super aggressive. Yeah.
And that black and white one that makes the big paper nest,
that one's really aggressive.
If you don't bop their nest,
they're all right.
Yeah, they're all right, because there's one that was in that fennel patch of the things, and I put my hand within an inch of it, and it just didn't even bother.
No.
You know.
No, they won't bother you either unless but if you bump their nest, you better run. You better run, you better hide because you're gonna get it. And they're gonna come. So
okay, well thanks a lot. I was just curious.
Thank
about
you.
That.
Yeah.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, Barry.
Yeah, thanks for listening and the call.
You bet. Good night.
Good night. Yeah, you always worry about the wasps out there, and maybe some of us did grow up with these super aggressive
Had a lot of them in Connecticut that were super aggressive, and those ground wasps were really deadly. My grandmother had a brother that was stung to death.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's rare, but it does happen, you know. But
Are you still listening, Barry?
Yeah. Well, they're not something to be trifled with, that's for sure.
Well, they're smart little beings, for sure.
They're amazingly clever.
Yeah, very clever.
And you just have to be careful of them. And if you go online and you look up all the different kinds, you can see that they have different patterns on their little faces. And that's how you identify them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Interesting.
And other ways, too.
Like it. We like the wasps, the beneficial wasps.
Yeah, the ones that build those flat nests that are everywhere, those are the ones you really want around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Getting ready for fall harvesting. And what are we eating out there right now? What are we not eating out there right now?
Well, my fall spinach is really great right now. And the peas, the snap peas have come on. And the snow peas will be in a few days.
My snow peas are hitting it right now.
Yeah.
Nothing better than snow peas in the garden.
I planted a couple of weeks earlier.
Yeah, I mean, carrots, beets, greens.
Carrots, beets,
on and on. Potatoes, onions, garlic.
Arugula, salad greens, kale, collards.
Cilantro.
Wow, tomatoes.
Green onions.
Green onions, basil.
Nice.
Oh, peppers.
Oh, no, peppers.
Ooh. Jinx.
Draw.
Right. Hey, we have Jane on the line. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I want to go back to wasps.
Okay.
You expert gardeners can stop you bragging for others out here who don't have all those things growing. I have a lot of paper wasps, and they make their little nests in my outside lights, and they're all over, and they're so gentle, and they're just wonderful. They eat bad they're beneficial insects.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid that all of your listeners are going to start killing any wasp they see.
No, that's what we're trying to avoid. Well, we're trying to get them to understand that there's lots of different varieties. But
but the most common thing I have around here are these gentle, lovely paper wasps. And just don't pay. The main thing is you don't want to put your hand on one.
No.
Then they will sting you.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I'm right about yellow jackets, but I think yellow jackets are bees. I'm not too sure. I think they're bees rather than wasps. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from there, Jane.
Mm-hmm. I did too. I never knew what the difference was between a yellow jacket and a honeybee.
Well, there are so many varieties of bees, and we have many of them, not just honeybees. I'm going to put in a plug for my favorite organization called Xerces, and they are an organization that works to, they're all for the invertebrate insects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, butterflies and bees.
Nice.
And bumblebees. And they put out a lot of education. And if you belong to them, they only send 2 magazines a year. That's nice. And they're small. And the articles are short. And they do a lot of education about bees and butterflies and wasps and other things. And people need to really not treat every ant or every bee or everything they see as a spider to kill. No. Look into it first.
Yeah.
Good advice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Yeah, that's...
Bye.
Bye.
Awesome.
And that's what we are talking about all the time is diversity and soil and bugs and that whole ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
you know, living out there.
Yeah.
And trying not to disrupt it, trying to enhance it and feed it. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, let it do its thing.
The voles were so horrible last year.
Mm. Yeah.
And because we didn't have the predators. Well, the predators showed up, that ermine that
there
I have.
Yeah. Go.
And
yep.
I don't have any voles to speak of. I'm sure there's some around, but it's back down to the natural.
Manageable.
Right.
Thing. Yeah.
And well, this was really funny. Right after the garden tour on the 10th, mm-hmm. and I'm looking out my window and there goes a rabbit running by, and there goes that ermine chasing the rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay.
Nice. That's the way it's supposed to
work.
Yeah,
and the ermine was much faster than the rabbit.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that those little rascals can be that voracious.
Yeah.
Is there a mink kind of thing around here, too?
I've heard of mink. I just heard that in the last couple of weeks, someone mentioning mink.
Because there
in
was
the
something dead on the road, and it wasn't an it wasn't a...
I don't know on that one.
It wasn't an ermine.
Yeah.
It was way too big to be an ermine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I think we're blessed by critters, definitely in the North Fork region here and just on the Western Slope.
Sure.
I mean, can you believe we're in 2016 and this is the beautiful place that we live in? Look at the beautiful food that everybody's growing.
Yeah. Right, so write your letters to the BLM.
Okay, yep.
Well, yeah, just, I mean, for real, you know. For mm-hmm. if, yeah, let's not go there right now.
No, we let's go gardening.
Yeah,
because
garden.
That's what it's all about, yeah. Folks, is keeping all of us sustainable and healthy, yeah. And eating well and understanding what real food is. And one of the things that we talk a lot about is seed saving. And Lance, you're about at that time where things are coming to seed. What about the salad bowl lettuce?
Oh, I just wanted to mention so that people can have patience with growing a seed crop, because that salad bowl lettuce got planted the first week of April, and I harvested it on September 10th.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. Five-plus months.
The seeds. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
just let it go.
Yeah, you just let it go. And again, I was watching it, and the wind was blowing the seeds off, and the birds were starting to eat it. So, okay, time to pick it. Otherwise, nice. I would have left it. Mm-hmm. And if we have a real hard rainstorm or something like that, that, you know.
Knocks it off.
Mm-hmm. So it's just, you got to let things ripen, and the more they ripen on the stalk, the better.
There you go. Patience. Have patience, right?
Patience is a virtue, yeah. Sought after by many and awarded to few.
Oh, boy. I like that one. That's a good one. 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. Manure tea, manure, compost report.
Yeah, right? Compost. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think? I'm going to leave it over the winter. I mean, I'm going to put it in another container and
store it?
Yeah.
Store it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, as long as you can breathe some.
Yeah.
You don't want it in a closed container.
Mm. What do you use all your compost before winter or not? What's your status?
Oh, I have a big pile of shredded compost that I'll use a little bit for the garlic patches, and otherwise it sits there all winter long.
Sits there all winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you can store it.
But it should be open?
I think that you need to put some way to get a little air in it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's going to get anaerobic. It's going to get something else in there, mm-hmm. even in the wintertime.
Jab a hole in it or something?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's in that black garbage can of mine.
Mm-hmm.
One time I put it into gallon jugs. Because it was just so easy to manage.
Now this is the compost tea.
Yeah, compost tea. And it went into this completely stable state where it didn't smell.
So
it didn't, yeah, it was perfect.
You have it in that trash can and it's still like that?
Huh?
In the trash can, it's got a stank on now.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's powerful now. You take that top off, you got to, whoa, you got to stand back.
Man. Leave it and see what happens.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Nothing.
No.
Yeah.
It's got plenty of room to expand. I'm just going to let it go.
Risk-free.
Yeah,
I've had that plastic, that black can for about 25 years anyway, so I guess it's okay.
It's okay if it freezes and breaks.
Yeah, if it breaks.
I doubt if it will freeze.
I think it'll freeze.
On the edges.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but not through and through.
It's not going to be a solid block of ice.
No,
and it'll get sun. I mean, even in the winter, it'll melt, you know, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to try it. I'll come back with a full report next spring.
Full compost report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got one more pile to make.
One more pile, really? How many is that for the season? I know you're counting. Don't laugh.
No, I don't. I don't laugh.
20 or 30.
No. Let's see. If I start in March and I make 3 to 4 piles and they're ready in 6 weeks and I start staggering it, so I'm actually making a new pile every 2 weeks because it takes 6 weeks and then you know, so you can do the math on that. I've never counted. And so I got one more. I just made a pile Monday, and probably in 2 weeks I'll make my last one. And then everything else that comes out of the garden gets stored in that big pit, and I layer that, or not pit, bin. The storage bin, and I'll layer that with manure all winter. And
the worms will be so happy.
Yes. Yeah, there's already worms in that pile.
Do you have red wigglies in there?
They were in there the other day.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. That's what Tom from Delta is looking for is the red wigglies.
And you know what else you can get, where you can get the red wigglies, is just get some of that worm casting dirt.
The worm castings?
Yeah, because there's always eggs. Yeah.
Okay.
There you
go.
So
you'll always get
fresh wigglies.
Fresh wigglies.
Nice. Hey, Donna is on the line with a question about bugs. Hi, Donna.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. I thought you said Donna.
Good. Hi, you guys.
Hi, Donna.
It's Duna.
Duna.
Norwood.
I know.
I know. Why do I do
Remember
that?
Remember me?
Yes. Right. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I figured out it was a peach tree. Thank you so much.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. And I was wondering, Lulu, as far as it was Whitney's, the awesome bug book you were talking about. I need to get that.
It's Whitney Crenshaw.
Whitney Crenshaw?
Yeah, Crenshaw.
G-R-E-N.
Yeah. Isn't that how you spell it, Lance? Something like that.
Well, if it's not a G, it would be a C.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a G.
It's okay. The big bug book, or what's the name of it?
Yeah, it's the revised version of the Pest of the West.
There
yeah.
you go.
All right. Yeah. That's what I need to know. Okay, no more time here.
Thank you, Duna.
Let somebody else call in. All righty.
Thank
Peach
you,
Tree
Duna.
Duna. Oh, yeah, I remember that problem she was having up there and trying to identify.
Yeah, she couldn't tell what they were.
Right, yeah. Right.
So that's really cool. You got down to it.
Yeah. Got down to it.
You see, Yeah, and Whitney's book. He was a Colorado bug guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those books are so great.
He probably talks a lot about wasps and the benefits of wasps.
He talks about those everything. Books are great. He's mm-hmm. got a little of everything in mm-hmm. them. Yeah, so and particular to this area too. So that's
nice.
Great.
Yeah. Great.
Colorado. Greater parts.
We have time for another call, 527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. I do need a carrot report because...
Oh, it's carrot time.
She just did carrots this year, first time in a long time.
Yeah. And they're on their own. They're mm-hmm. doing great.
Mm-hmm. On their own.
Well, I did my second thinning of the third bed, and it's a lot of hassle bending over and... taking out big carrots in between and trying to leave other big carrots. But what I found is that the first bed that I did it on, it takes so many tops out of there that the shoulders of the carrots get really green. And what that does, that green, not that you can't cut it off and it's not poisonous, but mm-hmm. it's bitter.
Right.
And so I don't, what I'll do if I want more carrots is I just plant another bed. And I have one other, the fourth bed of carrots. I'm not going to do that second thinning. And plus, there's not enough time to make a difference anyways.
Right.
The growing wise.
Right. So
I'm
interesting.
I'm out of time in my yard, man. Yeah. It's over. The party's over. I have
party's
so much shade.
Over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, the yard is just shady the whole time. My trees are too big. Oh, well.
Oh, we love your trees, though.
I know.
What
are you going to do?
What are you going to do about mulching your trees? Is this a good time to mulch in the fall?
Yeah, if you have the mm-hmm. materials mm-hmm. and stuff, and you can mulch up to 6 inches with whatever mm-hmm. materials. But if you're going to lose leaves, they're going to blow. So you might have to put something on top of the leaves.
Okay.
Either some straw, hay, even mm-hmm. a light sprinkling of manure, even mm-hmm. soil.
Even more dirt, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, even the leaves, though, I mean, like, out in the front on my health strip,
uh-huh.
they fall so thick that they don't go
very far. Yeah, and once they get moist, they're not
going to
Yeah,
once
blow.
They get moist, mm-hmm. they're done.
So you can put them down and wet them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do that. Just the thing is, keep them 6 to 8 inches away from the trunk of the tree, because the rodents that come in there, and they'll chew on the trunk.
Right. And you got to remember, too, that, you know, if you've got cats or something like that, or if the wind just happens to blow into your bushes a certain way and rolls the leaves in there, that's probably all right.
Yeah
there you go, the
and
natural
cats
mulching.
Will get them if you've mm-hmm. got cats and
mm-hmm.
but if you've got young trees and you want to protect them, don't put that mulch around the bottom. No.
Because what's going to happen?
The rodents live, mm-hmm. live
the
underneath
mice
it.
Especially. Yeah, okay. I mean, they're all under there, you know, all winter long. They're under there just having a big time. And they need to chew, the mice. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, their teeth get too long or something.
Yeah, they
don't
grow
they?
Together.
Right.
So they're
right.
always chewing. That's
so gotta they're always, chew. They've got to work them, so.
So they're under there chewing on the trunk of your tree if you've yeah. got
and
it that mulched too.
And that'd be girdling it.
Yeah, and then it'll die.
Yeah. And if they girdle below the graft, that's all you get is the rootstock. If they give a girdle above the graft, you might get a shoot that's still above the graft.
Right.
You know, and you might You might, but mm-hmm. you have to pay attention to.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what happened to my roses. Because you know that myrtle, the vinca?
Mm-hmm.
Man, it must be a party under there in the winter.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a party in your lilac trees.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or your lilac bushes.
Bushes.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that was funny to look up and the turkeys are up in the lilac bushes. And it's the one place where I've let some Virginia creeper grow. And they were up there eating all the blackberries on the Virginia creeper.
I think that's so cool.
I do too.
I didn't know anything ate those berries.
Yeah, at the end of the season, the birds will eat those.
Huh. Mm-hmm. And what about bird netting? Are you using that right now for your grapes or anything like that?
I put the bird netting on those fall grapes, and then the other thing I put, and the robins really let me know they didn't like that.
Yeah, they scolded you.
And then the other thing I put it on, just laid it on top, was that bed of spinach that I planted for, it's coming up now, and it's actually for next year's spring crop. And
oh, nice.
If I don't put the bird netting on it, it's not that the birds are going to eat the spinach. They tear the bed apart looking for worms.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
it's always something with these creatures,
so
right?
So that's what I put the bird netting on that.
Okay. So that spinach is going to be your overwinter spinach.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to overwinter.
Yep. And I love the birds right now. They're going cuckoo cat out there.
They
the committee
really are.
Is meeting over and over and over again.
Oh,
all
yeah.
All day long.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
great.
Having a big time. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time. Does the half hour go quickly or
yes.
what? Mm-hmm. And we want to thank Barry in Ridgeway and Tom in Delta for the Organic Method Primer book. Jane calling in about wasps and Duna from Norwood and Janice from Montrose with these Jersey Devil tomatoes.
I
so
can't
great.
Wait. I'm going to go home, fester this up. It's going to be great.
Nice. Thanks, everyone, for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks, Lance, Lulu.
You
have a good
night. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.